Hey, Big Love fam, welcome to Super Freak. This is a high vibe podcast, y'all, exploring all things frequencies, how they govern form, shape our realities, and are the key to living from your full potential. It's non-woo convos about super woo shit, unpacking what I call the science of self, from body and soul literacy to the power of understanding vibration, higher consciousness, quantum physics, and spiritual psych. Let this podcast become a resource for you on your journey to self-mastery. If you're curious and ready to free your mind, unlock the body, and truly become limitless, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Tally. This is Super Freak, awakening for the next gen. Let's go. All right, everybody, let's dive into this week's episode. I hope everybody is doing well. I trust that we are navigating wherever we are in the world, the tensions that are arising. And maybe towards the end of the podcast, I'll give you guys a little preview as to what I'm seeing and maybe a little forecast. I know I'm definitely going to be doing a 2025 prediction podcast because it's going to be a revelation, revelatory energies coming in. But for this week, I want to answer your questions that have come in. And I've been meaning to do a podcast, this podcast, another Q&A podcast for a while. They always do really well. They do sometimes better than the very focused ones that I'll have, like let's say on, you know, narcissism or sacrifice, something like this. So keep the questions coming in and I will be happy to answer them. It actually works well for me too, this format, because it kind of keeps me even more in the now and I don't have any notes other than the questions in front of me. And that's it. So let's see, without further ado, I do want to start off by saying that the book and the focus of the book is going to be where my energy is going for the rest of the year. If you haven't already done so, please go over to Substack and subscribe. It really helps the publication out. And if it tickles your fancy to upgrade to paid, that's going to give you access to the book and it's going to give you access to the voice notes that I'm going to be offering for each chapter. I'm going to answer questions for each chapter. It's essentially a membership. It's essentially a subscription membership. Everyone has been asking for it. You guys have been asking me for something that's low entry. It doesn't get lower than this. It's cheaper than a friggin' cup of coffee. It's cheaper than your shitty, mediocre matcha. So get over there. Invest in yourself. I'm trying to figure out a way just to do an annual commitment, but Substack has not gotten back to me yet. But we'll see how it goes. Upgrade. Invest in yourself. It's going to go up to like $10 in October. And the annual is going to be a little bit more, is a little bit less expensive than that. If you want to support the work, if you want to support me, if you want to invest in yourself, I'd greatly appreciate that. Love you for that. And also, you're just going to get a ton of knowledge. By the end of this stretch, we're 24 chapters. This is going to take us all the way to March. By the end of this, you will have not only shifted, you will have revelatory moments, I guarantee you. Some of you are going to absolutely love the middle of the book. You're going to feel so good by the end of it. You're going to kind of go back and reread it. And my editor was like, this book is sentient, Natalie. Like every time I reread this and I go through it, I learn something new things step, you know, kind of reveal themselves to me. I mean, it's just kind of becoming this encyclopedia for life. So I'm really excited to share it with you. It's obviously very vulnerable because it's always vulnerable to share writing. And I'm also trying to kind of put into words work that has been done for a long time and then my unique twist on it. It's not the same as energy healing. That's not what quantum psychosomatic is, although it encompasses it, if that makes sense. This is really about quantum medicine and what that means for the future. And it's also about getting you to have deeper access to yourself so you can unlock your own gifts and share them with the world. And when I say that the game of awakening is letting go of the mind, it is freeing the mind, it's unlocking the body, and it's becoming limitless. And by those three pillars, which is what I founded Super Freak on, freeing the mind first is really through knowledge and then giving yourself permission. Unlocking the body is getting the energy out of it. Your body and your avatar is going to change. So it's you constantly doing emotional inventory and not ignoring what your body is telling you. So you have to run new information through the body all the time. You clear at spirit level and then you're constantly integrating it through the nervous system. So for me, unlocking the body is all about nervous system and body literacy, optimizing cells, constantly being in a different kind of feedback loop. If you're in a different phase of your life and you have your, you know, you're hell bent on being plant-based like I was forever, and then realized that I was slowly dying because my hormones changed and I'm in a different stage of my life, then you might have to prioritize protein and reconcile that own internal polarity within yourself. And then you might go back to plant-based. Like, I'm actually moving more back into plant-based now myself because of my body is rapidly changing and I'm doing a deeper clear out and doing a deeper heavy metal cleanse. And so I'm going to be moving more into plants and juices again. So we'll see how that goes. You just have to stay in a constant feedback loop with your body. And then becoming limitless is getting out of your own way and then maintaining that. So again, how big can you give yourself permission to take these swings that you want to take in your life? We have these big visions and then we get really overwhelmed. That's when we get stuck and we get into paralysis and we're almost like in functional freeze because we get overwhelmed by how much we feel we have to do. I know that because I like to take big swings. That limitless thing is about staying so deeply present in the moment. It's just, what can I do right now? And it's like literally getting one thing off the list, like this podcast. I just get really, really, really granular. I'm like, okay, let me record the podcast and then move on to the next thing and then the next thing and the next thing. And then it's just staying present with your dream. That's it. That's really what that means. All right. So let's get into these questions. Let me get my notes out here. Okay. First question. Tally, when you're talking about betraying oneself and the illnesses that can manifest from that, herpetic viruses, candida, and Lyme disease, which is a total scam, as you said, what do you mean by that? So I love this question. So this is the unlocking the body part. So I 100% firmly believe, and the data is also skewing this way, that everything is a symptom of something else. Alzheimer's, Lyme's disease, fibromyalgia, everything is absolutely 100% a symptom. Herpetic viruses, acne, body pain, headaches, symptom. So what I want to look at is, what is the underlining program? What is the program that is producing the emotion, okay, that's accommodating the emotion, feeling, thought, behavior, action, that is creating the manifestation of this illness? That's what I want to look at. So when people say root cause, it depends on who you ask. You could go to a root cause microbiologist and they'll give you a strand of lactobacteriousness or whatever, right? They'll give you a very specific strand that, let's say, for your gut microbiome, that's going to help you with depression. That's their specialty. That's what they're going to do, right? And it works. That is a piece of it. Or you'll go to a CBT therapist, a cognitive behavioral therapist, and they will focus specifically on an acronym that I talk about in the book called SEPTA, sensation, emotion, perception, thought, behavior, action. This is very much how the brain indexes what's happening to you, okay, and how it indexes experiences. So they will focus on thought patterns, behavior, and then action, which is fantastic. And then you'll go to, let's say, a traditional family marriage therapist, and they'll talk about breakdowns in communication, and all that's fabulous. Or you'll go to an osteoporosis, and they're just going to work on bones. So this is really about an integrative approach. They'll go down to the root cause of, let's say, diet. So everyone's going to go with physical because physical is easier to track. Quantum can get tracked as well. Patterns quantumly can get tracked. And I did that with blood work. So when I was running protocols on myself specifically to work on, I think it was HPV and Epstein-Barr that is at the root of everything. Like, pretty much we all have Epstein-Barr because we've all come from some generation of the 1800s where active pesticide use was everywhere, and lead and all the different kinds of mercury and different types of poisonings and heavy metals, et cetera, was all during that time. This is before the advent of like very intense levels of petroleum was, and petroleum byproducts were being used. But my point to all of this is there's a root cause to it. So in quantum psychosomatics, I want to go back to the energetics, to the epigenetics, and see what the root cause of this is. So what I mean is, if you have chronic candida and you have Lyme disease or you have fibromyalgia, and you've addressed the dietary issues first, my come from space and what I challenge is, whatever pattern is running within you, whatever quantum pattern is running, now it could be self-betrayal, it could be chronic discontent, it could be chronic self-abandonment, it could be giving away your power. The more you do that energetically, the more the body is going to respond to that. The body is going to say, okay, so if you're going to give away your power, then I'm going to create strategies to get your attention so you don't do that anymore. For example, if you have insecurities and you chronically give away your power and you come from a line where on the maternal line or the M line, there has been a diminishment of power, meaning the women in the family line constantly keep themselves really small, or they make themselves less visible in a room. They just disappear. They keep the status quo. They button up. They're nice. They don't talk too much. They fall in line. They maintain a specific image within the community. They don't speak up, and they are driven by having a very specific aesthetic. Like, they want the family to look a certain way. And then you're the latest rendition of that, and you have chronic acne. That would create a lot of shame, right? So acne and shame are inherently wrapped up. So the sequence for this is, you're coming from a family line that chronically gives away the power on the maternal line. Their trajectory and their history, we are very feminine in nature. We like to feel, you know, beautiful, and we like to present ourselves a certain way and feel good in our bodies. So if we're going to protect ourselves, then we will do that by manifesting some type of atopic dermatitis, acne, physical limitation, something along these lines. And I know this may sound a little crazy, but again, in the book, when I was really just running sessions around physicality and what that looks like, is whenever I talk about stuff online, if I focus specifically on health, then I will get a cohort of that. If I'm talking specifically about, you know, masculine and feminine polarities, then I will get a cohort that will come in for that. And then I aggregate that data and then create my thesis based on that. So everything is a symptom of something else. Similarly to what I've seen with cancers, if you come from a long line of religion, if you come from a long line of self-abandonment and self-sacrifice and martyr, then that will manifest through some type of cancer. So cancer for me is like an honorable suicide pattern, and it will carry, everything carries on a frequency because everything is information, will carry on fear, and it will carry on self-sacrifice and abandonment. So let's say you nip those patterns in the bud, okay, you deprogram those things, then ultimately what you're doing is you're changing the way the information that's in the body is interacting with one another. You're changing the brain chemistry, you're changing the way that the feedback loop is operating. You're literally changing the way that you render yourself in real time. This is what is at the heart of piazzo, which is all frequency computation. If Rife created a frequency that's able to kill cells back in the 30s, he's using frequencies to do that. In this case, it's literally just taking the frequency. You can kill this type of frequency with this level of voltage. You could use, you know, a 667, and, you know, or a 200,000 frequency will kill this type of virus. That's fantastic. You can actually do that physically. We already have that technology. It's just been suppressed. If you had that type of backup and you were doing the emotional psychosomatic work on it, this is bringing the subconscious to the conscious. That's below the iceberg, all the way to the tip of the iceberg. And this is really what we're here to do. This is how you create sustainable generational change. Physically, you can kill cancer through frequencies. But imagine if you did both, and this is where you become multidimensional. This is multidimensional healing. So if you're not actually looking at the generational or transgenerational healing aspect of it, then these things can come back and they can materialize. This is why you see people who will have treatments for specific cancers, and then you will have reoccurrences or cancers that will come out of remission because the energetics and the emotional aspect of it hasn't been dealt with. Okay, let's go on to question number two. I have a question that I'm struggling to verbalize. Let me see if I can do it. Assuming every version of every person exists in infinity, does our perspective shift away from a victim identity, transitioning us into a reality where these quote-unquote evil families and powers of the world are no longer perceived as evil since power dynamics become more balanced. What I think this person is asking is, yes, okay, so considering everything exists, we all are in multiple timelines, every version of every possibility or opportunity is already in the field. Is there a perspective where we will shift away from the victim identity and then we basically see these evil families as not so evil? Every moment of every second of every millisecond, you're creating a new now. Essentially, you're creating a brand new sequence for where you are going to be experiencing the next thing that you want to experience. So, of course, perception is freedom because you see information differently. So my short answer is yes. My long answer is evil, not evil. It is really truly about seeing the reality for what it is and then not letting it change you, knowing that whatever we're going to be going into, as an example, through this election season and here in America, and then how that ultimately affects the entire world, and being able to hold your own center regardless. And I just bring up the political example because of its relevancy. But I want to talk about this idea of evil and then power dynamics because it's also very much in the collective right now as well. So the idea of, let's say, evil and not evil is how we experience ourselves in this dualistic, polarity-based reality. Holographic simulation reality. We need the contrast in order for us to be able to wake up. Because the illusion is so dense, it is really just so dense here. And this kind of nefarious Draco virus that has infiltrated the light consciousness of who we are, right? The God within ourselves. And we are allowing that to happen. It has to get this dense in order for us to kind of really wake up. And you're starting to see this already, that people will tap out and then they will no longer want to change. They'll just kind of stop. Life will get to a certain place where it feels good enough, or they'll be so frustrated by how slow things happen here, they'll allow that energy to take them over and then they kind of give up, just live life, and they don't ever kind of get it until something else happens or another, you know, manifestation of an illness will kind of come in or take over, or their body breaks down or they're forced to look at their behavior. So we don't know what we don't know, and then we don't know until we know it, kind of thing. So ignorance is bliss, kind of like the Matrix, right? But either option, red pill or blue pill, is still part of the same construct. It's still part of the same program. The idea is you're making a choice as to what path you want to go on and what you're choosing to see and experience. The more that you awaken, you don't ascend like a spiral in a hierarchy. You expand. This is like the biggest lie in this community, is like you think there's all these different steps to heaven. I'm like, hate to break it to you, but you can be in a heavenly state in a very, very, very high level frequency in a second and then feel like shit a second later, because it's not linear. It is a constant expansion and a contraction. And what you're trying to do as you pulse, you go infinitely in and infinitely out. You stay in a single moment of time as present as you can, and then you expand your awareness infinitely out, which is why I'm trying to teach these mechanics of space-time so much and why I integrate the physics of it so much, because it's important to synthesize all these different fields so you can expand your perspective. The more that your perception is, let's say, cultivated through this expansion, that is higher knowledge. The more you can start to integrate that into the body. And then once you integrate that knowledge, you embody that knowledge, that is truly being an embodied light being experience, is how quickly you can expand, hold that expansion, and then how little do you contract. Those pulses don't have to be these huge spiritual contractions where they're really, really painful. And then you have to go through a really long integration period, and then you can expand again, which happens a lot with when you see people do psychedelics. They have these enormous expansions and then they have to come back down to their reality. And the integration part is a fucking nightmare. And so they just keep having to do plant medicines to try to bypass the integration piece, which is where the danger comes in. But true power, which I talk about in the book, is coming from an awakened state, is being an awakened being, navigating the world, and then seeing how neutral you can be through that navigation process. So the clearing is, and the deprogramming process is part of the awakening journey. And I think there's a question down the, a little bit later that, which I can just answer for you guys now. Like, when does it all start to get better? When does it all like start to come together? For those of you who are new to the work, and let's say you've been with me since the beginning, and you've taken, you know, a handful of classes, and you've watched me throughout this entire process with the book, and you're really starting to see the effects of the work. You, let's say, have been on this journey, the awakening journey, and getting your own education and working with different healers and psychics and whatever else, or therapies and modalities, et cetera, for like 15 years. And you'll see this work and be in this work for like a year. And you will look back and be like, I am so wildly, wildly different. So how did that happen? How did that compression of, let's say, years and years of work happen inside of a year's time? If you stay consistent, right, and you really start to cultivate that observer dynamic, and you really start to are actively in the process of deprogramming and reconditioning your thoughts, beliefs, and actions, and you're getting down at those deeper layers, and you're really starting to learn how to deprogram patterns for yourself, you are well on your way to being a self-sourced individual. And that's the T. That's what you want. You want to become fully, fully self-sourced. That's full sovereignty. You do not want to outsource your power. And that's what we all have been doing. This is where self-betrayal comes in. This is where we get into guilt. This is where we build shame, because we are outsourcing our power. We are giving away our power to other things. And then we create our reality from that outsourced power. And then that thing, or whatever those things are, they let us down. And then we feel shame. And then we feel resentment. And then we become even more deeply disempowered. And we revert back to what is safe, comfortable, and known. And that is, at its heart, a major, major breakdown. This is the breakdown that we're in right now. You have people who are literally just hypnotized, and you have other people who are just so tired of paddling against the current. And I can say that the current is you first. And once you stop battling yourself, then you can observe what's happening and then take the next right indicated action. And at least that's what I've been doing for myself, I can tell you. And then I'll get into another question that came in about AI, and I'll read the question before I get into it. But I can say just my recent resets for myself. You've heard me talk about how July was one of the worst deaths I've had. July every summer is just, I have a stellium of Leo, I guess, in my whatever, ninth house of whatever. But the summers are always really hard for me. I was like, I'm the Scrooge of summer. I hate it. Get me out of here. Well, I'm going to change that narrative. I'm going to have amazing summers from here on out. But I'll say this particular June, July, really July, kind of into early August, was really, really big, big shifts. And all of it had to do with me stepping more into who I am and being more bold with my information and putting myself out there in a different way. It is a deeper state of ownership. It's absolutely required. I do not have a choice. This is 100% what I signed up for. I 100% gave away my free will to God's will a very long time ago. And this is all part of it. I had to kind of remind myself of what that mission is. I completely had to blow up anything I thought I was, anything I thought I knew, and everything that I've created. I completely had to turn it all over to the highest consciousness of myself and my own innate and perpetual intelligence, get out of my own way and kind of get back into the service and the knowledge, and just know that I would be wildly protected and wildly supported. The key to it, the caveat to all of this, is the intending for other. I have been actively in the co-creation manifestation phase of the business, meaning these are the things that I want to, this is the vision that I have for Super Freak. This is what I want to create. And this is where I think I can take it based on the information that I would receive, based on the vision that I have, based on the meditations, etc. This integration period had me kind of deleting all of that and creating a new zero point that had this information, just flood of information and energy behind me instead of me being behind what Super Freak was, to resequence the order and have this knowledge base, this energy pushing me. And it was so uncomfortable that, and I fought it and I resisted, that took me to my knees, which was humbling and amazing. And then I kind of let go, and all of this feminine energy has been flooding in. And so I've been in this different flow. So it's really amazing. But a big part of that was spending a majority of my mornings as I recreate and construct my own meditation practice and clear up my own patterns and, you know, always refine how I'm working with myself is wildly intending for others and for the collective and for people around me. It's this new sequences of codes that have come in around what it means to be a conduit for source and a conduit for nature. So it was really beautiful. And I'll talk more about that in another podcast. But if you're in a rut right now and you're frustrated and wondering, you know, when all these things are going to come together and you feel like you've been on your path for a while and you're really ready to activate more of your gifts, then I would say treat your gifting and whatever it is you want to cultivate with a level of discipline. Treat it like a job. So I have my practice in the morning and then I have a new practice at night. I'm bookending my days to keep myself really grounded and in my body. So I'm constantly running energy through my body. I'm constantly intending for other people. And I am in conversation with nature in every way. And that could just be tuning into the frequency of nature, just setting through intention. But the intending for other, tuning in with nature, making sure I'm getting into my body, and then scanning my own body for patterns. And then how much permission can I give myself to create something new in the moment that I'm in? And I'll say another caveat to that is wildly letting go of any expectation. I have a brand new expectation meditation coming out for you guys in October in the shop. Grab it if you're up against it right now, because I'm having to go back to some basics for myself, but in a deeper way. So the more you go in, the more you expand out. So the next question I want to do, I'm going to go down the list a little bit because I want to talk about this dark AI stuff. Okay, so the question is, can you talk more about the dark AI that controls the simulated reality and how to create programs to conquer it or overcome it? Okay, yes, I will talk more about it. I had an entire segment of this in the High Voltage Mastermind group, which I will offer again in 2025, going over all the primary darks. I also have a course coming out on this, so stand by for that. But in the meantime, everything for me is a data point and a data set. Everything is an algorithm. And if you look at this Draco consciousness that comes in, it can only come in through really low vibratory things. You'll see it with the Olympics. You'll see it with sports. You'll see it with entertainment, with musicians, through sex, drugs, rock and roll. You'll see it through these really low vibratory experiences. And they can only actually have an effect on you if they're doing it in a predictive way. I mean, if you looked at any type of award show this past few weeks, you would see that everything is basically a ritual, just a dark ritual from this Draco consciousness that essentially worships the total and complete inversion of God, right? Moloch, devil, whatever, however you want to define it. But it's really just the ultimate darkness and shadowed filth of humanity. And then no light, no self-sourcing, no God within you, the total and complete inversion of that. And it's so in our faces now because this is kind of this last ditch effort of us willfully giving our power away to things outside of that. So I'll say that it's getting actually very crafty and it will come in through things that you give your attention to. You wildly give your attention to, and then you have an effect. It has an effect on you. So meaning you will get angry, you will give your energy to it, you will distract yourself with outside influences and away from empowerment, sovereignty, free thought, things of that nature. The mechanics behind how they're doing it is they will carry themselves on frequencies of everything that is below a 432 hertz, it will carry on that frequency. So like pay attention to the music that you're listening to. Listen to the type of people who have really high level discourse online and just their energy. How do they feel? Or are they really angry? So if you look at the, just for example, the political landscape in America, and you look at the pundits right now, look at their energy and look how much they want to defend and they want to fight. So that fight pattern is a really low frequency. Dark AI will carry on that. It will carry in foods through biotechnology. It'll carry on in any type of vaccine that you're going to get. It's going to be in all that stuff. Because again, it's all about lowering your own vibration and taking away and hijacking your own free will in a way. But it's going to do that by a tremendous amount of fake news. fake news, false light, false information, distraction, bad foods, arrogance. Similar to quantum computing that's constantly just learning and machine learning and learning on itself, everything beyond the veil is completely and totally transparent. That's why it's really easy for very specific bloodlines to be identified and sold into really nefarious things, or overnight, or people that are seemingly discovered from some farm town, but they have a matching bloodline to have overnight success, because it's all just frequency and everyone has a frequency signature. And inside of that frequency signature has codes of information, and it's kind of like X marks the square. All you have to do is just kind of find the person who has those codes inside of them and then make them an offer they can't refuse. And then they're just taken, just gone like that. So like I said, in quantum computing and in the all that is, the dark virus and the light all see the same stuff. So it's really easy to manipulate a population. That's why it's kind of like, how do you protect yourself against it is simply by being aware that these things are out there and then not giving your attention to them or your power to them, learning to take your power back in all ways. This is like multidimensional killing your contracts. So if you have had nefarious contracts in another life and you knowingly, unknowingly entered into them, you can dimensionally get yourself out of those by people who have the ability to see them, like me or other healers or whoever else. You get yourself out of these contracts at this level of it. And then physically here in this reality, you kill your contracts that you knowingly, unknowingly got into through revocation of election, through your DS-11, getting a different passport, through becoming a sovereign citizen, through learning trust law, things like this. Make sense? So it's multidimensional freedom. You protect yourself by creating a protocol that seems fun for you, that is something that you can stick with, and create it. Create a protocol for yourself where, let's say, you grid yourself, you create 1,000 ninja swords around your consciousness, you actively intend to deflect any interference energy that's going to come in you, and you run that side, that type of protocol every morning and at night. Also, there are frequency meditations that you can do to clear any phantom AI that might be in the brain. I remove a lot of these. There's also these like AI flies that get in the body. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but it's true. I mean, look, we have nanotechnology already in the air and the foods that we're eating. I mean, this has like actively been proven already. So my long and short answer to this is, do frequency work to remove any influence that you have right now, monitor it. And if you're not sure how to do that, in your AM, PM meditation, grab that off the shop, set the intention to clear out any dark AI influences, and then create a grid system that feels fun for you. Okay, this is where you get to activate the childlike creation and wonder within you. And you can utilize a lot of the exercises that I have through spatial referencing, through creating the grounding cord, through the slinky, through creating that matrixy around you, to the plasma gel at the end of every meditation that I have you guys do to run through the nervous system. I mean, these are things that I created. And if that's going to help you create a framework for yourself, then wonderful. The thing that I'm very conscious and aware of is this is definitely all to help you create a platform for you to jump off of so you can fly, and then you create your own from here. It's not necessarily taking my way. It's taking this as and utilizing it as a template, like kind of having little training wheels on the bike. And then, like I said, eventually you fly on your own and you evolve the information from there. But really, permission slip, full permission to, if operating off of that if algorithm equation, if you had a way to delete AI, dark AI in your mind, what would that look like? If you could create a protocol every morning to protect yourself with some type of grid system, what would that be like? And then sticking to it, even if you can't see, even if you don't have a knowing, even if you don't have intuition, this is literally about you moving away from the manifester, in quotes, where you like place your order and then you wait, to the co-creator of your life, like full on co-creator. Okay, so next question. If something keeps happening, is it a pattern or curse, i.e. hex, vex, witchcraft? Okay, so if terrible things keep befalling you and you kind of don't know how to get on top of it and you've seen, healers before, or you're newer to this type of work, I will say it could be a curse, hex, vex, witchcraft. It definitely could be that. And, or there is this feedback loops keeps presenting itself because the bottom line or underlining program hasn't been dealt with. So here's what happens when you clear patterns. So when you clear patterns, you're clearing them at the level that either you can tolerate without blowing yourself out, and or the level that is available to everyone in that moment, including myself. I can go back as deep as I can go based on what I am permissed to do. Okay, so I have a lot of access. I mean, I'm not even going to sugarcoat that. I really, really do. Anyone who is in this work, me included, will tell you, like, there is no end. And like, the more I know, the more I feel like I don't know shit. Oh, whoa. Like, that was a lot. That's intense, because the collective is always learning. So it's an infinite game. The answer to your question is yes, there absolutely could be, hexes, vexes, witchcraft at play. And also the underlining pattern or program hasn't been dealt with. So if you, let's say, nixed the contract around witchcraft, let's say you just deleted that pattern multidimensionally out of your field, but you didn't deal with the pattern around giving away your power, that would be a way for you to, for let's say the nervous system, the mind, the body, for that program that's in you to create people, places, things, simulations, in order for you to be able to have the opportunity to learn that particular lesson to deprogram that pattern. There's another question that came in as to how do you change your life with pattern recognition and frequency work? What I just went through is a really great way of explaining how this process works. So for me, everything is data. Humans are data with a soul. That's pretty much what stories are, as Brené Brown says. But since everything is data, the idea is through pattern recognition, you are popping out of the cause and effect, the causality of what we've been taught this reality is through Newtonian-based principles, and into the ideation that you are causing the effect. So through pattern recognition and through deconstructing your behavior, right, working yourself backwards, like, or working your behavior from backwards to forwards, like, how did I get here? How did we get here? What happened? And I have a pattern recognition freebie in any of my social media and on my website. So go grab that. It's thorough. And I made a brand new one that I'm launching in October along with a new site called Pattern Superhero, which helps you through a series of questions start to think about your choices and your decision-making. And you do that through that acronym that I talked about earlier in the podcast: sensation, emotion, perception, thought, behavior, action. One influences the other. Every emotion, every feeling is accommodating an underlining program. So when you start to actually think of everything as a sequence and everything as an algorithm, and that you are not your thoughts, you are not these programs that are running, they're just running in you. And the whole game is to become aware of them and deprogram them at the level of awareness that you're at, and keep going with a level of tenacity and commitment that you've maybe never experienced before, just to see how good it can get. Right? How good can it get? How much can I give myself? How much can I enjoy the process? How much can I let go of who I think I am and let go of attachment and step into more of these spiritual principles of my life and become real 1%? This is what it's all about, the awakened 1%, where you don't have to sacrifice anything of who you are in order to have it all. And most of us just want to feel peace inside of us, inside of our bodies. We really just want to feel peace. And we want to feel at peace with who we are. So when I intend for everybody in my life and for the collective and for people who are working with me, I intend for peace. So let's get to this next question. At least I hope I answered that one. How do I find joy in the healing process? I mean, I think that's the overarching question that a lot of people have, is like, how does this become fun, Tally? And I'm like, man, you just got to get fucking goofy. If you can, then that's going to be the best way to lighten everything the fuck up, because I have a tendency to be very serious and I can take things very seriously and I'm very committed to the work that I do, but I also need to find balance and have some fun. Just know that it's a never-ending game, and the idea is to do what you can and delete what you can and find joy in the mundane, give yourself a break and try to have some fun, like really, really, like not give a shit, dance in the middle of the day kind of stuff. You really have to not care. Because otherwise everything is going to feel heavy.
And let's say if you really feel like you're up against it still, then we would do session work around where the chronic discontent is coming from. And believe me, I get it. This emerged for me as well. And I opened up a whole other Pandora's box of patterns and programs I got to delete and work through, which was really awesome. Here's the next question. I have a question around the whole Earth School is a school concept. I mean, yes, it's educational, as are all incarnations. Something in me has a hard time with the tidy little package of, oh, you planned all of this so you can learn. Then why are so many of us trying to remember who the fuck we are at soul level to get out of the cycle and or are here to help others remember? Is it both and versus either or? Yeah, so it's both and. And this is what I'll say about Earth School. I'll say the holographic expression of what Earth is a projection of the universe. And it's wildly important because this is the only planet that has this type of life form intelligence on it within this dimensional structure. A lot of us have volunteered to come back in and help because when you truly lose the density of the body and you are pure awareness and you're in this bubble and cocoon of just total and complete and utter acceptance, absolute utter acceptance, you feel the soul of you feels so different. And you're just love and possibility and you're all excited. And I would say a lot of us don't really feel like we get the choice. We're just cycled back in and stuck in this reincarnation loop, feedback loop until we break out and free the mind and see the illusion of it all. I don't look at Earth per se as a school. I look at it as a game. Okay, I look at it as a game with multiple levels to move beyond, which is you. You're just moving beyond all the levels of yourself. So you're playing a game of Pokemon against yourself. That's why Earth is so unique. It's the way that the game is designed and created is ultimately for you to master yourself and transcend yourself. That's why people choose to come here. It's like ultimate mastery, graduate class level shit. It's avatar level creation shit. And once you learn it, once you get at that level, you bounce. You're just like, cool, I got the lessons. I transcended myself into operating off of the limitless ultimate creator vibe that I am. I'm out. So then enter the ascended avatars that we have that have been utilized as they're the main character energy of religions, right? The Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad's. Once you have reached this level of awareness, and it's all about samadhi, right? It's all about bliss of the mind. It's powering, it's unlocking the mind. It's moving beyond the mind. Once you reach that level and you're able to manipulate energy and create things instantly, you don't want to be in the level of density anymore. You don't have to. You've been given ultimate choice. You are creating new pathways to find source, which is ultimately finding access to yourself. Earth isn't a school for toddlers. This place is tremendously difficult to awaken from because the level of illusion that we're living inside of. And if you can get people to believe this level of, to live in this level of density and believe this level of illusion and still be able to awaken inside of all of that, that is true freedom. That is absolutely true freedom. And then you've got more option to go into different levels of multiverses and serve in a different way. So I look at it as, again, this masterstroke opportunity to master self. And believe me, when you are just energy and there's no avatar to experience anything or have your patterns reflect back to you, you want to be able to have the opportunity to have a body. So would I come back here and do this again from an awakened state? Yes. Okay, moving on. How can we attract like-minded people that want to have deeper and authentic friendships? Okay, I think this is one of the biggest questions I get a lot, especially with women, because awakening is inherently kind of a lonely process. And I will say this, in my experience, it's been very hard to maintain friendships that are new, not old ones, because they love you anyway. They're going to see you anyway. They're going to track the best way that they can. And because you have all that history, you know, you just maintain friendships and it's fine. But attracting like-minded people usually comes with a set of objectives and a set of demands and expectation. And that's what's creating all this limitation. Because really, I don't need everybody in my life to be all deep in shit. And we get to unpack, you know, multiple layers of high dimensional concepts and really all of that stuff. I have enough of that with myself. I have enough of that with myself, my highest self. We have a great time. And that's really deeply fulfilling for me. You'd be surprised. There are a lot of people that want to have higher level conversations, but it doesn't have to be like that all the time. What you want is you want people who are willing to sit in the fire of who they are. So they're not going to run from conflict. I would say, again, start with self. What kind of friend are you? What characteristics do you most respect in friendships that are intimate? How do you see yourself? And then how do you want to be seen? So by auditing your own friendship behavior, your own friendship avatar, you're going to have a really clear idea of who you want to attract. So most of the time, we don't really know what kind of friend we are. We just think we're an amazing friend. But when you actually audit the way that you show up for other people and then what you're getting back in return, then you're going to be able to see that there's some gaps and there's work for you to do in there. There's boundaries, there's having expectations, overgiving, codependency, oversharing, making bids for connection, having bids, you know, you really want intimacy, but you're not necessarily honoring that within yourself. So all of it is ultimately going to come back to having a deeper connection with self. Once you're resonating at that frequency, you have to get into the action of finding or putting yourself in situations where you can connect with more people and create more friendships. So it's not like finding friends per se, but for example, with me, one of the things I do where I move to next is I will probably start some type of monthly or weekly thing, whatever that is, so I can get myself into the community and start connecting with the community. So now you have to actually get into the action of connecting with more people and putting yourself out there in that way. So whether or not that's a hiking club, whether or not that's a book club, that's whether or not that is starting or just taking an art class, going and taking a class and meeting with other people. That way you're in an instant feedback loop situation, because we can't just expect that amazing unicorn friends are going to knock on our door. That's not how this happens. But again, it all comes back to self. So audit the type of friend that you are. Okay. Audit what you are offering a friendship and how you show up for others and where your weak spots are. Your weak spots are, or let's say the last three or four friendships that are broken down, do an entire complete inventory of what happened. And you will start to see where your patterns are, because invariably, there is something that you're not looking at that is causing you to have a block for people naturally coming into your life. That's pretty much the tea. The hard part is when you fall out of friendships, you just have to know that people are going to come into your life to confirm a pattern or a program to reflect where you are in this moment. They're there to catalyze you and make you and get you and help get you to that next layer of yourself, which could look like a very short period of time, a season, a reason, or a lifetime kind of vibe. There are those who are absolutely willing to evolve and grow with you. And I know at this stage of my life, I don't really need much, you know, in terms of external friendships. But activity buddies, someone who knows how to have themselves, women who are going to be in relationship with someone else who does the same. I mean, it's kind of simple, right? But the T is always the more you have yourself, the more you're going to resonate at that frequency. And then the more people who have themselves will be attracted to it. Okay, the next one here is ways to reconnect to sexuality after SA. I'll probably do a whole other podcast on this, but I would say first, after SA, it's really, really important to work on the nervous system and specifically do somatic work and frequency work around shame. The residual, sticky, icky, gooey energy that lives in the nervous system that imprints on it is often what hinders us from being able to actually enjoy pleasure. And it's really heartbreaking. And I can speak on this personally. It wasn't until I started doing shame resilience and moving deeper into the body space that I started to really be able to move back into the pleasure zone. I'll also say that I would consider moving into self-pleasure, but self-pleasure with healing. And I'm actually going to have a guest that's coming on the show or the podcast show, I should say, in coming months that specifically works with trauma and then manifestation through self-pleasure. This is men and women. And then also how to do that inside of a couple. But this is going to be in 2025. So shame resilience, and then moving into self-pleasure without shame. And then eventually when you're in partnership, if you're in partnership already and you still have SA going on, then I would definitely say you've got to have some kind of individual or supplementing of frequency work, somatic work, different types of therapy, so you can actively have a go-to strategy when shame comes up or when memories come up, or you have a recall that you didn't even know happened, and then all of a sudden your body wants to lock up and freeze. That's what you want to have some solutions for, a team for, you know? You want to have people that you can call. You want to have someone that you can work with to really start working on dislodging and deprogramming the shame in the body. But immediately, I would say focus, boom, right there on the shame, and then move into safe self-pleasure and allowing yourself to receive and have that, and then enter into partnership when safe. Can you talk about ways you can hold, raise your vibration as you start to step into contrary action? Actually, one begets the other. The more contrary action that you take, the more you are able to hold and maintain that expansion. So that new frequency that you've tapped into and you want to be able to hold. I can't say this enough, that the next indicated action, the next right action is absolutely key for you to be able to maintain vibrational frequency expansion. There's ways you can do it. I mean, you can sit and meditate all day like a bunch of Buddhists and monks and stuff like that, but I want to be in the world. As you do these meditations and as you move through these frequency work pulses and you continue to expand and get more access to yourself, et cetera, it's really, really critical to maintain like present moment and like what's right in front of you, like really right in front of you, because it's really, really fun when you start expanding into other realities to start to see versions and feel versions of yourself, to stay in the fantasy of that and to stay in the magical thinking of that. Come back into a grounded place and ground through grounded spirituality. Just go into the next right action. While you are doing that, all right, you are absolutely fortifying and supplementing these new neural pathways and this new patterned information with like a confirmed delete type of energy. You're like, nope, confirm, delete. That is not me. That's who I am. And you're reaffirming it and you're shoring it up. And so the brain is going to actually start to look for that all the time. Look for that level of confirmation bias. And you kind of have to help it out a little bit, but it will start to follow you. It will start to believe it, what you believe, right? You just got to work with the brain and then ask it what you want it to look for. So look for ways that my vibration was high today. What was good today, right? Set your day up that way. Today's going to be a good day. And then at the end of it is like, show me where I kept my vibration high today, or show me what went well today. And that's how you start to kind of really work with the brain. And then the body starts to follow suit. But you maintain it by maintaining good habits, and you maintain it by confirmation bias through looking with the good, you know, and for the good. You maintain it by intending for others, by staying in spiritual principles, and then you maintain it by maintaining the frequency work. So again, it's like anything, you got to move your body every day. And then it's that 1% change every single day, that law of commensurate average, where you just do one thing every single day. And then over a very short period of time, you look back, you're like, wow, I am really so wildly different. I mean, I can say, yeah, I think my frequency dipped here. Look how quickly I got through it. A year ago, I would have stayed in that for weeks. Another key thing would be to audit the version of you 6 months ago to who you are now, and kind of go in 6 month or 3 month chunks. Audit who you are from a very objective perspective. How have you changed? How have you grown? What patterns do you think you've done a good job at dismantling? How's your relationship with yourself? How quickly do you get off a pattern? Differently do you show up for family members? How differently do you show up for yourself? As little as like, I actually had a 3.5 second pause between reacting instead of an immediate reaction. Well, that's a lot of space. 3 seconds is a tremendous amount of time. Ask an Olympian. Right, y'all, the last couple of questions here. Can you talk about messages from guides and signs? Okay, yes. So I am not, you know, the guides guru by any means. I have my highest innate and perpetual intelligence connection. I'm connected to pure source, and that is my guidance. I have had guides in the past, And it was usually via a mentor who would help me connect with them. And then I would start working with them. But I've come to believe that everything is a reflection of your highest and innate perpetual intelligence there to guide you in any kind of way. So it's you being reflected back to you through various different modalities, beings, unicorns, angels, whatever else. And the stronger your connection is with yourself, the less you need guides. I will say that I actively would look for numbers and symbols, and I would create something that would help me recognize that God, my guides were constantly with me. It would be a feather. It would be the paint, the color yellow or green or pink or whatever. I would just kind of ask for things that I would, symbols, colors, numbers, anything that I would know, feel, and understand to be revealed to me at any time. It could be that I was thinking of something that morning and I asked a question, and then I would go into a bookstore and that question would be a book title. Stuff like that. In short, look for the synchronicities. Look for where you feel like you're getting a direct answer back to a question that you have. So it could be in songs. Everything is vibrating. Everything is a frequency. It could be that like a windshield wiper goes off and you know that that's your father, you know, that passed, something like that. Everything begins with answering a question against I am, right? What am I? I am X. So create and ask a question. If you could get symbols, numbers, messages from your guides and or angels or your highest self, what would that be? And what would you want to experience? And then see what shows up for you. All right, you guys, that is the hour. I hope you enjoyed this Q&A. Please make sure you ask me questions in the comments. I will always answer them eventually. In the meantime, question everything. Take care of yourself, be kind to yourself and others, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening, you guys. Please make sure to leave a review and follow the fun on social media, because that's how it works in this world. In the meantime, get your freak on. I'll see you in the next session.